I'm David Cruz in Melbourne, Australia for Radio TC International. Fraser House is a series of programs about Dr. Neville Yeomans, the founder of the Fraser House Psychiatric Therapeutic Community in Australia. This extraordinary unit from 1959 to 1968 and was responsible for introducing many psychosocial innovations into Australian society. The series introduces doctoral research into Neville Yeomans' work by Liz Spencer, behavioural scientist and clinical sociologist. I have Liz with me in the studio.
Hi, David.
Hi, Liz. Our theme today is Dr. Neville's therapeutic process at Fraser House.
In the previous program, we talked about Neville continually shifting people's states in big group. In Neville's paper, Collective Therapy, Audience and Crowd, he wrote, "The skilled use of collective forces is one of the paramount functions of the sociotherapist, and such skills are defined by the team as collective therapy." End of quote. In Neville's paper, Sociotherapeutic Attitudes to Institutions, he wrote, "Collective therapy, both audience and crowd, utilises social forces in the patient's primary group." End of quote. Neville engaged all as a house in recognising and understanding, as well as utilising these social forces. In fact, every person I interviewed connected to Fraser House said that Neville's group process skills were way ahead of everybody else. He was just so fast and strategic. In the following, I endeavour to unpack some of Neville's processes. Now, Neville was continually scanning everyone, including various factions and isolates in the groups, to continually sense changing mood, the themes, what one would be appropriate right now, conducive to coherence in the group, what values were being expressed, and the nature of the interaction. And Neville discussed his own process in a monograph entitled The Problem of Taking Sides. Neville's process for working with destructive non-ecological behaviour was, as far as I could sense it, as follows. Whenever Neville was with more than one person, he was always on what he called the side of the constructive striving of everyone present, their ecological bits. This was defined by Neville as what was functional in the context, and what Neville called free energy. Isomorphic with the key line principle, his father's work, make use of the free energy in the system. The essence of this process was that Neville never took sides verbally or non-verbally with anyone or between anyone. When carrying out therapy with family and friends within big group, Neville did not take the side of any one person. Rather, Neville took the side of or supported what he called the healthy component of a role in the relationship between the individuals concerned in that unfolding context. The following quotes are taken from Neville's The Problem of Taking Side paper. When working with the intra-psychic structure of any one person in the family group, Neville wrote that he supported certain role behaviours of the particular individual and not other role behaviours. More specifically, he supported the normal component of certain roles undertaken by the person in the particular context. Neville did not take sides between two or more individuals, even though typically they may be attempting to make him do this. Neville was constantly supporting what he termed the positive component in role relationships, and in any one individual in the role relationship, that person's positive role behaviour component. Using this process, it was surprisingly easy for Neville to flow very comfortably through the most potentially disturbing of family quarrels and conflicts. Within the unfolding context, Neville was supporting what he termed the normal component of their role relationships, and consequently the normal component of the intra-psychic role structures. Neville was intra-psychically speaking supporting the normal subtotal of roles in the individual and the group. At the same time, Neville was not supporting and condoning the abnormal role part functions of any in the group. Looked at from the perspective of a person's total personality, Neville was personally supporting each member of the group as a person, while fundamentally not supporting or condoning anyone's abnormal behaviour. Each member of the group was accepted, everyone's abnormal behaviour was rejected. The tension in each individual within the family friendship subgroup was thus supported towards the normal. what Neville was actually doing in the unfolding context was continually changing his position as a function of the particular roles that were being attempted by one or other of the partners in the exchange. Neville was always supporting the context-specific healthy role functions.
And that's accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch onto the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Where have we heard that?
Yes, that's right. That's Henry Mercer's song. That's right. Was it Henry Mercer?
It was from, I remember Burl Ives sang it in, I think, Song of the South or something. With a little black sheep.
Was it really? Well, yes, exactly.
Or either that or Jiminy Cricket.
Well, in this context, Neville was a positive Mr. In-Between. And according to all of my interviewees, it's breaking me up, according to all of my interviewees, he was so far ahead of everyone else in his strategic and actually ruthless compassionate caring that it was best not to mess with him. The following outline of Neville's behaviours in big group was confirmed by interviewees and is consistent with Neville's paper, The Problem of Taking Sides, discussed before. In big group, if anyone was destructively attacking another person present, Neville said that he engaged the attacker and momentarily gave the attacker his attention. He then immediately interrupted the attacker and suddenly withdrew attention. Neville would switch his full attention to the person being attacked and ignored the attacker and possibly the ongoing attacking. This sudden withdrawal of attention from the attacker was all the more potent because of Neville's prior engagement being so strong. At the same time, he would continue to monitor the attacker as part of a continual meta-scanning of the whole group and group process. Neville may provide support and comfort and respond to any constructive striving of the victim. This behaviour rewarded the victim and was punishing the attacker in their being excluded. Sometimes he may isolate out and focus on the constructive and functionally appropriate in-context aspects of the attacker's behaviour and use this to interrupt the destructive aspects. Neville was very adept at this rapid pattern interrupt to non-functional in-context behaviour. Neville said that aspects of the interrupt process may include the following: the sudden removal of gaze, the rapid turning of eyes, head and body away from the attacker, the cessation of Neville's attention as perceived by the attacker, perhaps the hand up, stop now, hand gesture of the traffic policeman, the non-acknowledgement of the attacker's words and being in the room, and the engagement of the victim, as inverted commas, as Neville and the group's new centre of attention. Typically, the victim became the new centre of the group as audience's attention, and the attacker was, for the time, excluded by the group process. This was an example of Neville's use of social forces. His sudden withdrawal of being the centre of the group's attention, the taking away of the supports to the attackers, taken for granted what's happening. This denial of the attacker's reality typically creates an interrupt, an internal interrupt to their state and functioning. Often they go into momentary confusion. Often the state of the suddenly interrupted person may collapse. For example, anger may collapse through confusion to frustration to brooding, till the dramatic theatre unfolding around them captures their attention and they shift to being profoundly engaged as part of the audience to others' change work. Now, two of the ex-Fraser House staff that I interviewed, Warwick Bruin and Phil Chilmaid, confirmed that Neville was continually using the things, the behaviours that I've just been talking about. Neville termed the functional behaviour in context the ecological bits. Neville would, in his terms, support the ecological bits of all concerned. He would support the functional behaviour in context and ignore the dysfunctional behaviour in context. And this is what Neville called ecology therapy. Neville was particularly interested in processes for crowd synchrony and contagion and how to use this for enabling caring and well-being. In fact, Neville said his models for his own group leader behaviour were, interestingly, Churchill, you know, people who could move a crowd, like Hitler, even, Billy Graham, and Jesus. That is, people who could create crowd synchrony and contagion, people who could inspire, manipulate, emotionally move, and control a crowd. However, he made a great stress on that he didn't use them as content models. He didn't follow what they actually were saying, except Jesus' love. Neville said that he often mentioned to staff and clients that he used these charismatic people as process models. But Neville's abiding metaframe was love, surrounded by humane caring, psychosocial ecology, and safety. Neville said that one appeal of charismatic leaders is that, and I quote, "For many followers, the paradox of existence requires the intervention of the miraculous. Many believe that such leaders can deliver miracles." And I asked Neville if there were miracles at Fraser House, and he said with some considerable flourish, "Of course it was miraculous. We were the best in the planet, and we all believed this, so we would acknowledge our failings as we were streets ahead of everyone else." And this is Neville talking. "I was accused of being an impossible optimist. I sense I was more of a fatalistic optimist. I was context-driven. If I go to creative context, then everything is creative." It worked like that. "As for the miraculous, well, that was a calm night, peaceful. Remember, we were filled with very bad and very mad, the under-controlled and the over-controlled." That's the end of the quote.
Liz, that's provided listeners with some insights into how Neville worked therapeutically. What's the theme for the next program?
I'll discuss a case study that illustrates the processes that we have explored in this program.
Listeners, you can find Liz's cultural keyline thesis on Fraser House on the internet at www.laceweb.org.au. I'm David Cruz for Radio TC International. My guest today has been Liz Spencer in Melbourne, Australia.